Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
And I am so excited to be with you all over the world this morning, coming to you right here from the Rock Church in San Bernardino. And just as Pastor Jessica said, God has a word for you this morning. You're thinking, how does God know what I need to hear this morning? Because He's God. He's God, and He knows all things, and He is overall. He is omnipresent, present in every place. So no matter where you find yourself this morning, God is there. God is with you. Take a minute and just breathe in His presence. Maybe this morning you didn't join us in the worship time, but you're clicking in right now for the Word. Take a minute and just focus in on Him. Lay aside everything else. Center your heart and your mind on what God has for us. So right here in Women Rock AM, we have been working on a series in the Psalms, and this is our third in the series. So if you want to catch the first two, they're right there under the messages section of our website. Go there. We had a word from Pastor Sue and a word from Pastor Jessica out of the Psalms. So when we look at the Psalms, right, it's an interesting thing about the Psalms in general. Right? And what I've told a lot of people in spiritual guidance, if you want to learn how to pray, if you want to figure out what's going on in my soul, one of the best ways to do that is begin to walk through the Psalms. Because the Psalms are a collection of poetic utterances, a collection of people's words to God, expressing their heart to God. But the interesting thing is that God decided to take those words that He was involved in, where people were expressing their situation to Him, and turn them into His word. He was involved in those expressions. So it's interesting that these expressions of joy, the expressions of irritation, these expressions of anger, these expressions of contemplation, became God's word for us. How amazing is that? And the book of Psalms in itself is separated into five general sections. But right in the beginning, those first two chapters were added as an explanation of the Psalms. What you're going to get out of this amazing book. So what I thought we would do this morning, and I felt like as I asked the Lord, let's go through these Psalms, show me what you want to say, the Holy Spirit just dropped right into my heart. You're going to start right here in Psalms chapter 1. You may be very familiar with Psalms chapter 1, or you may not have any idea what it's about, but it doesn't matter what your situation is. This morning, God has an encouragement for you. He has a direction for you. He has an instruction for you that you might be thoroughly equipped for every good work that the Father has for you in this season right now, where we find ourselves at the end of April in 2020. So let's go ahead and turn there, and I want to, if you have your Bible, open it up to Psalms chapter 1, because that's where we're going to be together this morning. And the first thing that you'll see there is, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Now, this is interesting because this blessed is an expression of emotion, actually. It's not the same kind of blessing that God did when He first created humans and He saw that it was good and He blessed them. He commanded a blessing over them. This is an, oh, blessed. It's an exclamation point. It's like we would say, how happy is the person who has these truths in their life? So the psalm is opening up with, hey, this is keys to having a blessed or happy life. So go ahead and let's have that context with us. And I was reminded as I looked at this, I was reminded of a song that came out in 2014 and overtook the whole world. You might remember it was a song about being happy by Pharrell Williams. And he had this to say in his song. He said this, here comes bad news, talking this and that. Well, give me all you got. Don't hold it back. Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. No offense to you, but don't waste your time. Here's why. Because I'm happy. That song resonated so much with humanity that literally a video was made that was 24 hours long with people dancing to Because I'm Happy. It doesn't matter what the bad news is. And what he got right was that life comes out of the inside of us, not the outside. He knew that a person with good news on the inside could handle a lot of bad news on the outside, and they would be able to withstand it. And he was talking about an emotion, but I have a word for you. God has a word for us today that's much more powerful than just an emotion, right? It's a sustained happiness that God can provide by forming our interior, because the inside is truly more important than the outside. So the message today, I've entitled it, An Invitation to Blessing. An invitation, you could say, to being happy, even regardless of all of our circumstances. So there's two things that we see here as we go to Psalms chapter 1. Right? It starts off like this in verse number 1. How blessed is the man, or blessed is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There's a whole bunch, and we're going to take a minute to unpack that verse a little bit. And we're going to unpack it under this thought, because this thought is so applicable to what we're going through right now in COVID-19 with all of these quarantine and stay-at-home orders. They have been telling us to keep our distance, right? So this morning, I want to tell you, yes, let's agree. Let's keep our distance. And look at what the word says here in verse number 1 about keeping our distance. It says, he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does this mean by walk? It's not just talking about our physical walking, right? But rather, walk means to live, or a manner of life. Whose manner of life don't live our life in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that mean? Counsel, the perspective of this world. The perspective of their ways of thinking, their ways of being, their ways of doing. Perspective of the ungodly, the counsel of the ungodly, simply means hostile to God, not God's ways, right? Opposite of the righteous living that God has designed for the people who love him and who follow him and are doing life with them. Simply put, we could say the ungodly is anyone who lives by their own thoughts or worldly thoughts. And there's a warning for us there. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Normal living without God's perspective, the counsel of the ungodly, seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. So this verse is warning us about this. And then it goes on to say, right, blessed is the man who nor stands in the path of sinners. To stand, you know what it means to stand for something, right? It means that you're counted, you're being counted, you're represented, you're standing up for something that you believe in, right? A path of sinners. What's the path? Again, this is the same thing, a rephrasing of what we just saw in the last statement. It is a course of life. It is a way of doing life, right? And it sounds like this person, a blessed person, isn't stopped, right? Isn't stopped in a lane that's contrary to God's ways. But they're moving along the pathway, right? That's God's pathway, not man's pathway. It says this in Proverbs 14:16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Something about this scripture, standing in the pathway of sinners, right? Walking in a way that is ungodly and away from God is not the way to a happy life, is not the way to a blessed life. You might say, well, there are some things in my life that seem like the way the world does things. They're not God's way, but I'm not living them out. I'm not acting on them. I'm just watching them. I'm just standing around them. I'm just glancing at them. But that's what the scripture warns us against. Don't stand there, because when you stand in a place that is unrighteous, right, you prevent that blessing of God from coming into your life. We're filling our lives with the wrong way of thinking. So we need to keep our distance from ungodliness. And maybe in this season, you're at home and you're maybe watching more shows than you would normally watch, checking out more websites than you would normally watch with your free time, right? Maybe you're working from home and you browse a little. What are your eyes watching, right? What are we letting and allowing into our hearts? Is it the ways of the world, or are we seizing this moment to let God's word fill us up. So I want to congratulate you right now. If you're listening to this message, that means that you're taking time to fill yourself with God's word. You're taking time to not walk in the ways of sinners and the ungodly. And the last statement, I wanted to also go to Corinthians 15:33. It says this, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let's not trick ourselves to act like we can let the things of the world be around us and it's not going to affect us in the inside. Life comes from the inside out. And what we allow into our eye gate and what we allow into our ear gate goes down into our hearts. And so the Holy Spirit is warning us here is to keep our distance from those things. Nor sits, it says in the last part of this verse, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What does it mean to sit? Maybe you're sitting right now, right? And you're listening and you're leaning in. When we sit, we rest. And we can press in, we can give attention to something. Hopefully you've taken some time in this season and you sat down for a good meal. You've sat down for a good conversation, maybe with your friends through FaceTime or Zoom, right? You've sat and you've invested to listen, right? To read, to do good things, to have conversations with your children or your spouse. Because sitting means that we're giving our attention to something. But the warning here is don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And our world is so full of that kind of conversation, scornful conversation right now. It's so easy to access. What does it mean? Disdain or to deride or to boast, right? It's when we take information and instead of being creative, we become reactive to that information in a negative way. We reshare the negative information. We see the bad in everything, every government announcement, every presidential declaration. Instead of seeing what is the wisdom in it, we just see the bad in it. That's everywhere, all over social media. But God tells us not to sit in the seat of the scornful, not to let those thoughts come in because they affect our heart and our lives. I was reminded as I read through this, isn't this exactly what Satan did in the Garden of Eden? He took God's word, and instead of having something of his own, something original, he simply reacted to God's word, and he scorned it, he twisted it, he made it sound different than it actually was, so that Eve began to have a different perspective of the word that God had given to her. Let's not sit in those places. Why? Because they skew our perception. They skew our judgment. They affect the way that our soul actually works. So God is warning us. Right? Proverbs 14:6 says, a scoffer seeks wisdom and doesn't find it, but knowledge is easy who with him to understand. A scornful, a scoffer, it may seem like they want to learn, but they're unable to. Why? Because their heart is turned away from God. And so God is warning us this morning, keep your distance. Keep our distance from what? From the world's wisdom. Step one, into being a blessed man and woman, to being a happy man and woman, right out of Psalms 1, verse 1, as this book begins to open up, is keep your distance from the world's wisdom. Don't sit there, don't stand there, don't stay there, don't walk there. But what do we do instead? Well, then we have verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. God is inviting us in verse 2, just like we hear everywhere, to stay connected. There are things that we're keeping our distance from, but then there's things that we're staying connected to. So important in this season. Yeah, we stay connected to our loved ones and our friends and our communities. But here in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, we're invited to stay connected to the law of the Lord. Let's take a look at this. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. What is delight? Delight is joy, right? Enjoyment. Right? Things what we delight in are things that we believe to be good. Things that we believe are life-giving. Things that give us pleasure. Do you see the shift from verse 1 to verse 2? Verse 1, it was about physicality, where we walk, where we sit, where we stand. But all of a sudden, verse 2 is not about what we're doing on the outside, but it's about what's happening on the inside. Where's our pleasure, our joy, our delight? God is asking us, where's your heart? right? Where is the heart? Because that's where life comes from. Proverbs 4:23, right, says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Right? We know that God is interested in our hearts, because what's in our heart is going to direct and affect the rest of our life. So what are we looking for here? Delight. Right? The verse says, delight is in the law of the Lord. Our delight is what occupies us. Our delight is what are the things that our soul is locked into. Let me ask you that question right now. Take a minute and ponder, a few seconds. What brings your soul delight? Maybe you've had some extra alone time during this season, and your soul has been talking to you. Maybe you've been more busy than ever before, like some of my sisters, because they have all the kids at home. But when you wake up in the morning, where does your soul go? When you lay your head at night after a full day with the kids and at home and preparing, cooking three meals and all of the things that you didn't have to do because you went to the job before, whatever it is, maybe it's the silence or the busyness. When that moment of silence comes, opening your eyes or laying down your head, or in the middle of your day, what does your soul delight in? It's a question we can ask ourselves, because the invitation here is to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. And we can be honest with ourselves and with God and be like, you know, Lord, it's been a burden to be in your law. I haven't made the time like I should. I'm feeling a sense of missing it because I'm so busy with the kids now, and I used to have time. But does our soul delight in the Lord? That's what God is inviting us, because that's going to bring happiness. That's going to bring blessing from the inside out. What does it mean by the law of the Lord? Simply God's ways, right? His guidance, his guardrails, his safety net for us, his instruction. Now you might be saying, yeah, but the Bible is full of limits. Of course it's full of limits, right? God doesn't want us going off the edge of a cliff. He doesn't want us crashing over a bridge. He wants us on the road that is safe, that is protected, that is guarded, that leads to his goodness, that leads to his provision. That's God's plan. So this sets up those guardrails in our life. It sets up those pathways in our life. That's God's plan, right? For us to delight in his law. Think about, again, the garden. Let's go back there. God told Adam and Eve that they could eat of every fruit of the garden. There was limitless provision. There was abundance in every sense for them to enjoy, right? But yet the scoffer comes and the liar comes and he twists God's word. He twists God's law and he says, did God not say, right, that you cannot eat of every tree? No, God said, I can't eat of every tree. But God had one warning, just stay away from this one thing. But just like we so often do in our human nature, is God sets guardrails and we're like, instead of trusting him and being humble and depending on him and saying, God, I might not understand why I can't eat that. I can't do that. I can't see that. I can't watch that. I can't have my eyes on that. I can't listen to that. Maybe I don't understand, God, but I'm going to trust you. That's humility. Depending on God that he's going to keep me. But what happened in the garden and so often happened in our own life is that we're like, well, you know what? It looks good. It seems good. It looks good to my eyes. That's a different perspective. Maybe God didn't mean that. And then we end up crossing off of those guardrails and inviting not blessing, but sin and all of its consequences into our life. Genesis 3 says this, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate it. And she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate it. Right? Why did it look good to her? Because she wasn't keeping her distance. It changes our perspective. She didn't keep her distance from the serpent. She was engaged in conversation where she shouldn't be. That's why the first step is to keep our distance. But the second step is to delight in God's law, delighting in his law, making sure that our soul trusts in him and that we're investing in it. How do we invest in it? It tells us to meditate, to meditate. That Hebrew word meditate means to mutter God's word. You have to remember that when we read in Western civilization, especially when we read a book, when we read out of the Bible, we tend to do so silently. But that's a pretty new thing. Reading for a long time, for hundreds of years, for many generations, it was something that happened out loud. So when we meditate, it's a muttering, a reading, a going over and over of God's law. There's this movement that's moved over the Western world for the last at least decade, right? This mindfulness movement, this idea that we as humans get into a rut. And as we get into a rut, we get up, we go through our morning routine, we go to work, we go home, we go to our afternoon, our evening routine, and then our week is set on a schedule and it kind of happens over and over repetitively. And we can actually go through our lives without actually realizing we're living our life. We're just doing it over and over. And the world has realized, oh, we got to be mindful. We got to be aware. What am I doing right now? How am I doing right now? So that I can take enjoyment out of what I'm doing. And there's some wisdom in that. God's plan from the beginning, He was the first one that was interested in us being mindful, being aware, taking in the world through His perspective. That's why He's invited us to meditate, so that it can form our hearts, it can form our minds, and we can begin to see and be aware of the world around us through His perspective. That's what meditation does. This is the reason God put ordinances to place for the Israelites, because He wanted to keep that people so that the Messiah could come from them, right? And what He told them is, I need you to talk about God's laws along the way. I need you to teach them to your children. Deuteronomy 6:6 says this, and these words, God told the people, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. God was telling them that I need you to stay connected to my law. I need you to stay connected to my precepts. God was forming in them a personality, a perspective. The interesting thing is that He was having them rehearse His law. He was having them rehearse their history, but He was also having them rehearse their prophecy. He wanted to build a people who didn't just know the past, but they also knew the future. A people who would trust God to be kept so that they could be a blessing to all of the world. It's no different today, church. God wants us to meditate in His words so that we can understand the past, so that we can understand the future, so that we can be a blessing for our world today. But that requires us to have His word in our hearts. It requires us to realize that we have been called and set apart, not like the world. We need to keep our distance from their perspective and their thinking and stay connected to His law. If you listen to the messages that have been coming out of this house over these last few months, you're going to see a resounding theme. Get into God's word. Put God's word in your heart. Meditate on God's word, right? Sow His word within you again and again and again. Why? Because we have to get our hearts ready, and we have to keep our hearts so that we can live out and be a blessing to the world that God has called us to. You might be sitting there going, how am I going to be a blessing? I'm in stay-at-home owners. Oh my goodness, God's creativity for you to be a blessing to the world around you is limitless. There has no ceiling. God is a creative God. He created the heavens and the earth, and He can give you God ideas to be a blessing in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, over the internet, to the world in general. So many wonderful things, because God wants us to keep His word in us so that He can say about us, blessed is the woman. Oh, how happy is the woman who keeps her distance from the ways of this world, but checks in, tunes in to God's word, meditates on God's word. Good. Stay connected to God's law. Then we go on to verse 3, and there's another idea presented here. The interesting thing about scriptures, there's always these two things, right? There's God's provision, and then there's our response to God's provision. This is most of our life. God is present, He's willing, and then it just becomes a question, are we going to take what He's given us and put it to work? Are we going to trust what He's given us and put it to work, right? God's law, regardless of circumstances, It's always going to be our choice to make it happen in our life. That's part of free will. So the next thing I want to encourage you with today is not only do we, right, keep our distance from the world's ways and stay connected to God's ways, but then number three is that we see in this chapter that we need to flourish. We need to flourish. I can't even leave my house. How am I going to flourish? Let's listen and see what God says about that. It says in verse 3 that this blessed man, this blessed woman, shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow, what a beautiful picture. Let's take this statement by statement and see what we can glean for our own lives. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Now, here in Southern California, that doesn't mean too much because we've had dry season for a long time. But I can remember a time when I was a kid and I lived here in San Bernardino, and the Cajon Wash ran right behind my grandmother's house. And we would go out with my uncles and we would sit in that wash that came down from the mountains up in Lytle Creek. And man, we would go up to the top, we'd sit in it with a little raft, and that thing would keep us, would shoot us down the river really, really fast. And my uncles had to keep us, lift us up out of the water because there was so much water. When we think about these rivers of water, we got to get a picture. Think about a river that you've been to, whether it be a wide river like runs down the Grand Canyon, or a small river like something here like Lytle Creek or the Santa Ana River. Rivers of living water says that you're going to be like a tree planted by those rivers, right? What does a tree planted by those rivers do? It drinks freely. Right? And when a tree can drink freely, guess what it can do? It can flourish. It can take the sun and the water and the nutrients and that moist soil, and it puts it together with the DNA that God has given it, and it produces life in that tree because there's water to be drank. What is that water? That meditating on God's word, that keeping it central to our lives. Then it says it brings forth fruit in its season. If you know anything about fruit trees, you know that they are seasonal, right? They bear in season. That is the sign of a good life, that you and I have seasons of bearing fruit, right? This is God's goodness to us. It's not an obligation. God's like, you're bearing fruit, you're bearing fruit, you're bearing fruit, you're bearing fruit. That tree would wear out. Trees have seasons, right? There's the fruit bearing, but the fruit bearing doesn't come till after the flowering. And the flowering of the tree doesn't come till after the leaves. And the leaves don't come, right, till after the growth spurt. And the growth spurt doesn't come till after the pruning. So this is a natural picture that our life is going to have seasons of great fruit. Jesus said it himself in the Gospels, right, that he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. But fruit comes in season. So I don't know what your season is right now. You may feel like, you know what, I'm not bearing a lot of fruit right now. Don't take that as condemnation, because there are seasons of fruitfulness, and there are seasons of pruning, and there are seasons when the leaves are barely coming out and when the flowers are barely blossoming. All of those things take time. The key is to delight yourself in the Lord in this season, whatever that season is in your life right now. That's why I ask you, what is your soul delighting in right now? No matter where it's at on that spectrum, right? There is a time as we invest with God, as we spend time with the Holy Spirit, as we delight and meditate in His law, that fruitfulness will come. It's a promise from God to you. But then there's this incredible statement that comes after this. Watch this. It says, whose leaf also shall not wither. What? The only trees I know that are green all year are the evergreens, and those are conifers. They have pine cones. They give off pine cones, not fruit, and they have needles. So this is actually not a natural perspective. This is a supernatural occurrence. This is beyond the natural. God's saying, I am involved here, and your leaf, my promise to you, is it will not wither, right? God is going to get supernaturally involved in our lives when we do what he's asked us to do, when he keep his word in our hearts and in our minds, when we meditate on it to do it, and we keep it, and we separate, and we don't allow ourselves to be filled by the things of this world. God is coming in with a promise here. right? God says, I'm going to transcend the natural circumstances, because the tree in this context was in the Middle East, and the Middle East has a huge dry season. Here in California, we have a huge dry season, right? So in that dry season, and as the seasons change, trees can get thirsty, and when they get thirsty, they turn brown, and their leaves, they do wither. But God is saying, supernaturally, I'm going to provide for you. Supernaturally, there's going to be water in your place. Supernaturally, there's going to be life-giving, life coming to you from the Father that's going to allow your leaf to last all year long. That means we can flourish all year long. Even if it's not our fruit-bearing season, in every season, there is a blessedness, there is a happiness that comes from the Father that is available supernaturally to you and I when we walk in His ways, when we trust Him with our lives, when we depend on His Word for living our life. He will take care of our soul prospering so that people can say of us, oh, happy is she, oh, blessed is she, because we're following the invitation that's made here at the beginning of this book. It says, it said, he shall be planted by rivers of water. Now, there's some interesting things happening in these terms here. Planted, first of all, that's our first hint that God got involved, right? Because he's the one that plants us in our place. When we trust our lives to him, when we depend on him wholly, when we lean into him, God is taking us and planting us in his place of choice. I've been planted in this house, and it's been a source of living water for me. Are you planted in a house of God? Where has God placed you that's going to bring you life and water? God plants us. He put the tree in the place that he's wanted. So let me tell you right now, if you're looking around going, what church can I go to next? What community can I get to next after this season? Maybe I'll try a few other places. You stay faithful to where God has planted you. You look forward to getting back to the house that God has planted you. This is not a time to uproot yourself, but this is a time to stay faithful to the house that God has called you to. Stay faithful to the community that God has called you to, because he's the one that plants us. He's the one that puts us where he wants us so that we can prosper, so that we can flourish, so that our soul can be fed. So tune in and stay connected. Rock family, stay connected. We're looking forward to the day when we're going to gather back together, when we're going to link arm in arm and hug one another and point to one another and say, you look good, because it's God's planting. He's planted you in this house, and we're going to be back together soon enough. But remember, he's the one that plants us. So don't uproot yourself in this season. No matter what comes against you, stay faithful, stay plugged in, stay connected to God's word, both through the teachings and through getting into God's word on your own. The other thing that's interesting in this statement, planted by rivers of water, that word rivers actually means and refers to irrigation canals. It's not something that just occurs the river, but also that pathways have been made so that water can get to that tree. God will make a way to get his provision to you and I. He will bring his life to us when we are faithful, when we are planted. It may look like a dry season. I mean, look what he's doing right now. You're at home, but he's taking the word of God to you. He's encouraging you, right? He's made a way so that you can be encouraged, so you can have a meal out of his word that builds up your life, that builds up your spirit. God is looking out for you in this season, so that you don't have to go through a time of shriveling up and feeling like you're dying away, but you can flourish in this season. We'll go back to that verse that we mentioned earlier, Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In Psalms 1 verse 3, it says it like this, and whatever he does shall prosper. When we keep ourselves from the world and meditate and stay close to God, whatever we put our hand to shall prosper. I said a little while ago, if we're tuning in, God's giving creative ideas. If you didn't hear last night's message, Pastor Jessica talked about, go online, go on YouTube, go on the church website, listen to the message about God dropping in ideas into people's hearts and ministering to our community. God is dropping ideas into your heart. He wants you to flourish in this season, whatever that looks like, right? It's going to look different for you than it does for me, because he's a creative God. Right? He's not making the same picture, making a stamp and having us all do the same thing, but doing something on our own. Look at this, Joshua 1:8. It reminds us here at this last part of verse number 3, whatever he does shall prosper. It reminds us of Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Father, I can't keep your word. It's hard. Then God's got a method. He's got a plan. Meditate on my word. Day and night, right? Make it the desire of your soul. It may be hard at the beginning if you're not used to it, but make it the desire of your soul, right? For then, if and then, remember the promises of God and then our action, right? God declares his blessing and it's our job to follow up on it. If and then, it says, for then you will make your way prosperous. Why? Because you're putting God's word to work. You're trusting him with your life. You're taking him at his word. You're not in the garden going, well, let me just try this fruit on this tree, see if God was really telling the truth. No, cutting off the things of this world, pressing in to the presence of God so that you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. My invitation to you is to flourish in this season. Do the things that God is calling us to do and flourish in this season. At the opening of this psalm, these scriptures are telling the people, if you will meditate on these psalms, if you will meditate on these scriptures, that there is a flourishing in this season while you're at home. You know, I've gotten to hear a couple of testimonies just in this season. At the beginning of the year, we invited in Women Rock, we invited some of our leaders from the PM teams to begin to read God's word every day, beginning to end. For most of them, it was like, wow, that's a huge ask, right? I usually read a devotional. It's really common that Christians read a devotional. Most devotionals will have a scripture and a long explanation. But our challenge was, don't just read a scripture and let somebody else explain it to you, but get into God's word for yourself and let the Spirit of God bring his light to that word and speak to you. And in meeting with these leaders throughout this year, one of the things that comes up again and again is, wow, I've been a Christian for a long time, all my life, but I've never read the Bible cover to cover. And this journey has been so enlightening, so life-giving, so life-changing from people who've been Christians for 20 years. Why? Because God's word will guard us, it will guide us, it will direct us, it will allow us to know the voice of our Father. So I want to challenge you to flourish in this season by increasing your intake. You know, I also heard my sister, she doesn't know I was going to talk about her, so I won't say her name, but she's also always used a devotional. And I remember a couple years back when we were talking about reading God's word that she was saying to me, yeah, but I just read the devotional because when I open it, I don't understand it. I don't get it, right? It's just too hard. So it's easier to read a little bitty devotional and somebody explain it to me. Well, just the other day, we were having a conversation and she said, well, I just started reading it. I just started reading 1 Corinthians, and she was telling me about her experience and her questions and what she understood and didn't understand, and it was the Word of God was making sense to her, because that's this season, church. That's this season. That's why it comes up in every message. Are you doing it? Are you spending time in God's Word like never before? Are you allowing it to meditate in your heart? Are you muttering it as you lay down and as you rise up? Are you sharing it with your children in times of worship as you gather around the screens to have church? Are you talking about it after? Maybe this is new for your family. You've never done it before. I'd never done it before. I don't have my own children, but now I have my niece and nephews. And now we get to talk about God's Word like never before, because we get to talk about, I get to go to church with them and sit and watch their program and discuss that program and memorize their scriptures with them. This is a special season. Let's seize this moment. Let's be in this moment. Let's not allow and increase the ways of the world through all of those screens and everything that's out there and available and all of the ridicule and the scoffing, but let's turn instead and draw closer, right? And stay connected to God and his word so that we can flourish in this season. I'm not going to go through the rest of the psalm, but I will read it because there are some ideas there and you can spend time with the Holy Spirit on it. The wicked aren't like this. Those who don't live God's ways are not like this, but they are like the chaff, the Bible said, which the wind drives away. What does that mean? The chaff, when they're shaking out and they've harvested the wheat and they shake it, the chaff comes up and the wind drives it away. There's no seed, there's no fruit, there's no tree, there's no planting. It just perishes, it just goes away. So then it says, therefore, because of all of that, and find it here, right? The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Right? For the Lord knows, verse 6, the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God has got his eye on you and on me. As children of the Most High God, right? As children of the Most High God, he knows our ways. He's watching over us. He's got you in his hands. He has a plan for you to flourish in this season right now. God is not limited by stay-at-home owners. He's not limited by quarantine. He's not limited by closed businesses, closed beaches, closed parks, closed jobs. He's not limited because you don't have a paycheck. He's not limited because you've got all of your family in one house or you're completely alone. None of that limits our Father. But if we want his answer, we've got to check in with heaven. Download, as Pastor Jessica encouraged us this morning, download that word of God for us and walk it out. Trust him that it's going to bring life, that the guardrails he's asking us to set over our eyes and our ears are going to protect us. Yeah. And we're not going to have to step over, eat the fruit, and suffer the consequences. Trust God's guardrails. Trust his word, because he wants to bring us life. He wants to bring us goodness. He's still inviting us to his garden. He's still saying there's so much fruit trees to eat from. There's so much life to be had. There's so much provision and so much goodness for you and I if we can keep our distance from the ways of this world, stay connected to the law of God, and trust him to flourish in this season.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.